Psalm 62, a psalm of David. Truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down? This leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Surely the low-born are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion, nor put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love, and you reward everyone according to what they have done. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our New Testament reading comes from Luke chapter 9. Once, when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "God's Messiah." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." This is the word of God. Thanks be to you.
Good morning, everybody. I'm hoping that you can hear me. This talk this morning is going to be all about silence and how we... I'm hoping that you can hear me. Some of you are looking rather bewildered. Could you hear what I was saying? Or were my words drowned out by the music? Is it possible that God sometimes feels like that? He is so busy trying to speak to us, but we are filling our lives with noise, even the noise of worship. We live in a world that's full of noise. Every cafe we go into, every shop we go into, who decided that we are incapable of eating a meal without having music played? Who decided I can't buy a pair of socks without listening to music? I walked through the middle of the shopping centre in Woking recently, and as you go along, as you pass every shop, every single one is playing something slightly different, and the ones on the other side are playing something else, and it's this hideous cacophony of noise. I was on the seafront one day this week. I was having been for a swim. I was washing my shoes in one of the taps. And a lady came along, obviously a visitor, and was trying to drink out of the same tap, basically. And I was trying to say to her, there's a drinking fountain over there. And I realised she was completely ignoring me because she got earbuds in. So she couldn't hear a thing I was saying. She was wrapped up in her own world. Let me ask you, when you turn your car ignition on, does music instantly blare out at you? I know some people who would have to answer yes to that. Where is our space in this very noisy world for the still small voice of God? One of my favourite sounds, my favourite bird calls, is the call of the curlew. Now, not only do you have to be in the right place to hear a curlew, but as you're walking, you if you're listening, and you do have to be listening and attentive, you can begin to hear it. And if you're very fortunate, if you stand still and strain your ears, you will hear that magnificent song. But you've got to work at it. It's not like the blackbird on my chimney pot. So let me ask us all, how important is it to each of us to hear the word of God, to hear that voice speaking to us? And scripture tells us quite definitely that he speaks. And scripture tells us quite definitely that he wants us to hear. My sheep, hear my voice, he says to us. Do we? And are we listening? As Joe has already said, this morning we are continuing this theme of pathways to life, aiming to help each of us work towards our vision, which is sharing Jesus' love. And we are exploring this theme in three ways: upwards in our relationship to God, inwards our relationship to each other, and outwards our relationships beyond the walls of this building. And I still maintain that the upwards part of that is far and away the most important, because we cannot share what we do not know. So it's not that it's a step. You do one thing and then you do something else and then you do something else. It's cyclical all the time. But that upwards relationship with God is the most important one. And the more we discover the reality of God's love for us, the deeper and closer our relationship to him, the more like him we will become, and the more we will have to share. This morning, as I've said, we're thinking about meeting God in silence. James is going to share personal experience. I am just putting it into a biblical context. So let's think about scripture for a moment. Turn your thoughts to Moses. On a very ordinary day, he saw a sight which was not particularly unusual, a burning bush. But if you read the scripture, what it says is he stopped and he turned aside to look. And the scripture says that it was because he had turned aside that God spoke to him. He took the trouble to stop in wonder, in whatever, and that's when God spoke to him. Think about Elijah. Elijah had done battle on Mount Carmel, and at the end of that he ran away. And God looked after him. But then we're told that God met him, but not in a powerful wind, not in an earthquake, nor the fire, but in a gentle whisper. He had to be listening. If we turn to the Psalms, Psalm 123, I love this picture, this image that's thrown here. As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a female slave look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he shows us his mercy. That riveted attentiveness. Psalm 131, I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Or think of Jesus going up that mountainside a great while before day to pray. I don't think he took his mobile phone with him. I think he went in the stillness and the quietness because he had decisions to make and he needed to hear the voice of God. Is it possible that sometimes we use noise to protect ourselves? If you like, to keep God just a little bit distant. Being silent and still before God is a place of vulnerability. I'm going to confess that, like Jane, I like silence. I find noise, loud music, extremely difficult. For me, as Jane is all going to tell us in a minute, it's in the quiet and the stillness, that kind of worship, that I meet with God. I don't necessarily have to be sitting still. My early morning swim at this time of the year is one of my great praying places. In the winter, it's my walk along the seafront. But there are times when I do make the effort to be still. I get my phone out, it's set to a time, and I sit still and I concentrate, or try to, until it pings at me. Let's be honest, silence is not easy. Being still and being silent is not easy. As soon as we stop, our minds fill with trivia, things that we've got to do during the day, things that we've forgotten to do, etc., 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 which is why so often having an aid of some kind is really helpful. This is a holding cross. I've got about half a dozen of them. They're made by Cher's father, and if anybody would like one, you are very welcome to take one at the end of the service. It's a wonderful thing to hold as you pray. It just helps to focus. You might want to use a rosary or the Orthodox beads, which is basically a piece of string with knots in it. It's something to have in your fingers. A candle to look at. An icon to focus on. Just something as an aid. We're not worshipping these things. They are helping us to worship. In the stillness, we are not actively praying. It's not the time for our prayer list. It's the time to simply be still. And should God wish to speak to us at that point, we are there and we're available. I often find, actually, that he speaks to me later on in the day, having spent time in the stillness to start with. The point is, we are in the presence of God, and we are available to him. And it is our worship. Because we are opening ourselves to God in a very vulnerable way. One of the other aids that we might want to use is actually having, and I'm going to use the word mantra. It's an unfortunate word because it has unfortunate connotations. So I'm going to explain. The Orthodox Church for hundreds of years used to use the Jesus Prayer. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Saviour, have mercy on me, a sinner. And you just simply repeat it, not out loud, but I can't use that. I've tried. It's too long. I simply use the name of Jesus. Some people find it helpful to time that with breathing. I don't necessarily find that helpful. Jane is going to share with us the mantra that she uses. So there's all sorts of things to help us. But give it a go. You never know what might happen.
Thank you, Margaret. Firstly, I'd like to share three promises from the Bible, which I have longed to be a reality in my daily life. The first is from 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. I've always longed to know what it is to be in Christ. And I feel that silence leads me to that place. Then Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. What another wonderful promise we all have. Christ living in us. That's amazing too. And finally, from Luke's Gospel, as David read earlier, when Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. All these verses have within them the theme of denial of self. Silence for me has been the spiritual discipline which has helped me to really believe some of these amazing promises. You are practicing the presence of God and aiming to remain in that presence throughout the day. In the silence, you are just there, resting in his presence. Layers upon layers of my old life, desires and wants have just fallen away. It's taken several years of spending 20 to 30 minutes in the morning and again at the end of the day, just in silence. This spiritual discipline has now become my lifeline. For me now to be in Christ means that my thoughts are constantly on him and I no longer have to be at the behest of my own emotions and feelings. It's all about him. When my mind wanders, I bring it back and say the name Jesus silently, or my mantra, which is Maranatha, meaning come, Lord Jesus, in Aramaic. I would now like to lead us all in a short time of silence. I recommend you sit comfortably, eyes gently closed, hands relaxed on your lap, and say silently a word or phrase like Jesus or Maranatha, or anything else that is meaningful to you. Thoughts will intrude, but just let them pass by like the clouds in the sky. Do not engage with them. I would just read a reflection on "Be still and know that I am God" by an unknown writer. When I finish, we will have 5 minutes silence together, and I will set my timer to mark the end. So, the womb of silence. Not in the whirlwind, not in the lightning, not in the strife of tongues or the jangling of subtle reasoning is he to be found, but in the still, small voice, speaking in the womb of silence. Therefore, be silent. Let the past be silent. Let there be no vain regrets, no brooding on past failures, no bitterness, no judgment of oneself or of others. Be still and know. Be still and look. Let the eyes of the mind be closed, that you may hear what otherwise you would not hear, that you may know what otherwise you would not know. Abandon yourself to him in longing love, simply holding on to nothing but him, so you may enter the silence of eternity and know the union of yourself with him. And if in the silence he does not answer, he is still there. His silence is the silence of love. Wait then in patience and in submission. It is good to wait in silence for his coming.